no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name. Don't let any rocks or stones cry out in your place. Will you lift up your voice and lift up your hands? Lift up all that's within you this very morning and magnify the Lord of glory who delivers, who set free, who still saves, who still heals, who still makes whole. He is worthy. Honor him, glorify him, and praise him, for he's worthy. As I was standing there, it came to my mind the story of Joseph as Tanya was singing. His own brothers, not one plus, not five plus, 10 plus. Every one of his brothers betrayed him and spoke negatively into his life and sold him into slavery. For some 13 to 14 years, someone here in this house, You've thought about giving up after 1 year, after two, after three. But Joseph never failed to acknowledge God and to believe God and to live for God. You can live for God in the worst of circumstances. You can live for God when the news is bad news. You can live for God when it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. God is faithful and he has not forgotten you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 28. You won't find it on the screen. If you have your Bible, go there. Your apparatus, your means of communication, your phone, your iPad. Matthew chapter 28. The freedom of the Lord was in this house last week, this week, the week previous. God is moving, God is doing, he is working in his people, changing lives, healing, making whole. The enemy has come against some of you this very week, sown things into your heart and your soul. Things were said, things were written, things were spoken, but God is faithful and he has not forgotten you. And he loves you. There is no word like his word. There is no hope like his hope. There is no story like his story. And today I just want to remind you one more time that God loves you, and absolutely nothing can get between you and his word over your life. He will fulfill it. He has not forgotten you. He is with you, and you can trust him today. Would you love him one more time? Lift your hands toward heaven and praise him. Give him honor and give him glory. Thank you, choir, for all that you do. Vocalist, every time. I'm so amazed at how much talent and blessing God has bestowed upon our church and our people. Brian, don't ever feel like you don't lead us in. You lead us in. I think you know that, but every week, you and Tanya and your entire team lead us in to the presence of God. There's no reason that we can't worship. There's no reason we can't praise him. The stage is set every Sunday. The opportunity is here. Amen. God inhabits and lives in the praises of his people. Familiar scripture said this. Now, after the Sabbath, I had other plans for this morning, but I felt like God takes us where he chooses to take us. After the Sabbath, as the first day, say that with me, the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene, you know her story well, and the other Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus. In essence, there were probably no less than four Marys at that tomb. That's another story, another message for another day. No less than four Marys at that tomb. They all represented a different story, a different culture, a different need. The other Mary was there. They came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him. And they became like dead men, unresponsive. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you think you expect this dead Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here." The three most important words in all of Scripture: he is risen. Just as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed going before you into Galilee. And there you shall see him. Mark it down, I have told you. Verse 8, I love this verse. The word said this: being afraid. Yet filled with joy, they ran to tell all. Amen? I want to read it in this version. The word said this: the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. The angel's message. God, add your anointing to your word today. Prepare our hearts and lives with the intensity of Scripture, with the intensity of your word, with the intensity of life-changing power that ministers to us again and again and changes us and takes us from the mundane to the majestic, from the ritual to the redemption. I'm thankful today, God, that Jesus Christ is alive and well and seated at your right hand. I am thankful today that he has promised us that he will return. And even now, we prepare our hearts yet again for the coming of Jesus Christ the Lord. I pray today that you would sober us and fill us with great fear and wonder. But yet, God, give us joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I pray today that any life, any heart that needs you would indeed find you through Christ your Son. In Jesus' name, anoint us. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 8 said, they were afraid. They were in awe. Nowhere does the word proclaim or translate to us that they were in fear of their lives, but they recognized, they realized that the glory of the Lord was and is taking place in the life of his son Jesus and in their very lives. Could I just beseech the church this morning that once again we could realize and recognize the awe of a resurrection power and what it means that he is no longer dead, but he is alive. He is risen and seated at the right hand of the Father. You are in a Pentecostal church this morning, and it's okay to celebrate, to shout aloud with great joy and great passion, because he is the risen Son of the living God. We need a little holy fear again in our lives. Some things that shake us up, a few folks that are unafraid to lose control, because God is in control. Yet we are filled with great joy. We don't understand it all. We can't fathom it all. We can't explain it all. Sometimes God just moves beyond our expectations, and the incredible really does take place. So the question is, do we live like we know what happened that day? Jesus has been tried 6 times by Annas, by Caiaphas, by the Sanhedrin, by Pilate, by Herod, and then by Pilate yet again. It is the end of the Sabbath. It now begins to dawn toward the first day of the week. Tell your neighbor you need a first day every now and then. You need a first day when your expectations can be changed. When I stop expecting out of him what I keep expecting out of others. Can I remind you one more time? He's the only one that ever had the power to get up on his own. Can I remind you one more time that he's not a false god celebrated by a people who refuse to acknowledge the real God of glory? I am not Islamic, I am not Muslim or Muslim, but today I am a born again, sanctified, filled with a holy fear and all of God, man that believes he is worthy of all of my praise because he is no longer in the grave. Man, I am reminded that I learned a long time ago to stop expecting out of others what I should expect out of him. Jesus has been dead for 3 days and 3 nights. I shared with you that there are probably 4 Marys and 4 specific stories there that Matthew mentions too. And as they arrive, some very dramatic things are taking place. Dramatic happens. How many of you know that dramatic happens inside the church and dramatic drama happens outside the church? That everything is not calm, cool, and collected. The word tells us that the earth begins to shake, that the earth is torn asunder. It is the second earthquake in 3 days. I believe, Bruce, that that's exactly how it happened. That things are turning and things are being stirred and God is interrupting the mundane. The last time the earth shook 3 days prior, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. It signified that man could not reach up to where God was in all of his attempts. But now through Jesus Christ, God was reaching down to man in his lowest state to save and redeem and to change his wayward life and living. It was the last time that the earth quaked. This time God is coming down to man. This time the earth shakes and Jesus, God, opens the door through Jesus for any man to come into God's presence. It is also at this time that God guarantees the priesthood of the believer. We no longer go to an earthly priest to have our sins petitioned to God for forgiveness. We no longer count on another earthly man or earthly woman, but now, and listen, Jesus Christ is the priest of all priests, but when he saved us, he redeemed us. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we become the priesthood of the believers. I have authority. I have a power. I am not God, but I serve the God. And I have access today not only to pray over myself, but to pray over you and to pray over this church and to believe that God will hear me when I pray. Amen. We are the priesthood. We are the chosen. Stop acting like you're beneath. Stop acting like you're less than. Take up the authority that you have and trust. You are saved to be a priest. And this time men can go where only the high priest could go before. This time the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, black and white, Asian and Mexican and Hispanic is abolished forever. And whatever failures left man on the outside and outside the promises of God have now been reconciled through Christ. And we have every promise that belongs to us because of what he did and he is doing. Somebody lift your hand and praise him. The word tells us the angel of the Lord descends from heaven, that the stone is moved, he sits upon the stone, that for some 12 to 72 men that stood guard for 3 days over that tomb, not one of them has moved that stone, but the angel moves it out of the way. The resurrection works that way in my life. It moves big obstacles out of my way. What was meant to keep him out of my life on Wednesday of this week, what was meant to keep him out of my life on Thursday this week, it has already been removed. Not only the past, but the week to come. Big obstacles are meant to roll over and bow down to the name that is above every name. Big obstacles are being taken out of the way right now for somebody in the balcony on my left side. Right now, God is removing big things to do big things in your life. It is that Matthew tells us that his appearance is like lightning, his raiment glistens white as powdery snow. He does not move that stone so that Christ can get out. He's already escaped the domain of death, but he moves it so that we can look in. When I showed up today, I expected that stone in my life to still be there. When I showed up on the last Sunday morning of March 2023, I expected the same experience I've had day in and day out before. I expected him to still be in the tomb. I didn't expect angels on a Sunday. I didn't expect an earthquake this morning. I didn't expect armed guards who represent the enemy of our Savior and the enemy of our salvation. I didn't expect enemies in my life to fall down today, quaking in their own fear. I didn't expect a living Savior when I've tried to kill his influence in my life all week long. I didn't expect him to love me anyway. Every failure, every shortcoming in my life, yet he loved me anyway. He moved the stone anyway. He redeems me. Oh, somebody praise him, because he saved your soul and changed your life forever and ever and ever. Yes. Can anybody testify today? He's always been more than I ever expected. Amen. So many, hear me well, it bothers me, it burdens me deeply. So many churches, so many people are trying to take the awe, the holy fear, the uniqueness of God's Spirit out of their Sunday mornings. They're taking the awe out of their singing and out of their preaching. But I still believe that God shakes us and shapes us and moves on us with unexpected glory and unmatched power and an unleashed anointing, as it was on the day of Pentecost, where he filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. Matthew now informs us that grown men, the strong of the strong, armed guards, tremble and become as dead men, and some run in terror. And thus the very soldiers given charge to prevent this resurrection of Jesus Christ, they become the first witnesses of his eternal impact. Can I Can I speak over you today as the shepherd of the flock? Can I tell you that what the enemy has spoken to your negative and the enemy has spoken against you today, the very presence that has tried to fight you and talk down to you, the very presence that keeps putting up those obstacles, that God said, just like those soldiers, he said, I'm going to take my glory and put it on your life. And the first one that will acknowledge his glory and his power and his presence is the one that said it wasn't there, the one who refused to believe, the one who was determined to keep you shut up and sealed up inside a death-filled tomb. They ain't listening. The angel says to Mary, fear not, for I know. He knows some things about us. Dramatic things. Things that shake the foundation of who we are, as the ground was shaken on the day of his resurrection. That sometimes we keep showing up looking for dead things. When God says, I'm trying to show you what's real. I'm trying to show you what is life and living. I'm trying to show you what will benefit and turn your world upside down for the good. You'll never face life again like you faced it before because of the dramatic that I'm about to do through an empty tomb.
Yes, amen.
We keep looking. Our expectations are not very high. He said, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. My question to this section today is this. Would I have expected much on that day? Would it have been just another Sunday, maybe like it was last Sunday morning? Just another religious experience, someone you believed in but disappointed in? There are a number of ministers and pastors in this house today, and we have all let you down, but more importantly, at some point, we've probably let God down. And we show up Sunday after Sunday and week after week, and our expectations never change because there is a ceiling on what we expect. Because man has disappointed us again and again and again. I've heard of phenomenal preachers, ministers through the years, Brother Sargent, inside the Church of God and outside, that had an incredible anointing upon their lives, only years later to find out about incredible weakness. But I tell you this morning, no matter how strong or weak you are, the enemy of your soul can do nothing to limit the power of God that wants to work in your life, in your soul, and in the depths of your heart. They saw it all. They witnessed it all. Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, Mary, got so much more than they really expected on that day. And so my second question is this today, very simple. What if you came expecting something else? I'm sorry, but just a very simple, what is your expected norm? What do you expect? This is what those women really expected. The angel says this, I know that you came looking for a man, a dead hero in the grave, a dead icon who touched your life deeply, a dead physician that somehow wondrously and miraculously healed your sick body. I know that you knew him, but I know what you came expecting. You came to mourn one more time. You came to mourn yet another day. You came to mourn over what you've lost or you've been losing. You don't know what I lost 35 years ago. You don't know 8 months ago or 8 minutes ago. What your wife did to you, that son or daughter that walked out on you. But God said, I'm about to touch your life before this Sunday is over. Like I spoke to them, I will speak to you. Like I touched them, I will touch you, and you will never be the same again. I need to let some expectations go. Wayne, I need to let some expectations go, Darnell. Speaking to at least three ladies in the house today, your expectations have been so high in man that you have forgotten what God can really do. And God said, they may be yours, but they're not mine. You're expecting the same thing you got 3 days ago. When I was stretched wide and hugged high, and my body was massacred brutally, and I was beaten beyond recognition. You're expecting the same thing you did 3 days ago and 3 years ago. And God said, but you showed up on this last Sunday in March 2023, and I'll give you a new set of expectations. Look where the Lord lay. Go tell somebody. You didn't come looking for anything extraordinary today, anything beyond the norm. But before you leave here, God Himself will reach down and grip the heart. And you'll get more than you've ever expected in your life. This altar is open. God can change you today. God can work in your circumstance today. How do you approach the empty tomb? Is there an excitement? Is there a zeal? Is there a faith? Is there a belief? If Revelation could grip their heart on that morning, why can't Revelation grip your heart on this Sunday morning? Heroes die and men die and doctors pass and lovers pass and husbands die and dreams die and sometimes they don't ever come back. But the angel said, look at this place. He said, you destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. And the one who said he would come back came back. If they were changed for the rest of their lives. I'll close with this morning. Do we really understand Jim, what he did? Do we fully comprehend the price that he paid? Matthew said that as they went to tell the disciples that the tomb is indeed empty and that Jesus met them and they fell at his feet and worshiped. This may seem a little dramatic, I'm sorry. Can I get anybody in this section that would just fall at his feet and worship him? Right now? How about any? That as they went, they met him in the mountain. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. You don't ever really see Jesus and not worship him. That's why I don't understand how Tanya can sing with all that she's got and these guys play and sing with all that they've got. And our hearts are up toward. And we are not broken. And we are not moved every time we hear his name to fall and to worship him. The Lord said they saw him, the disciples, and worshiped him. Can I get anybody in this section that will worship him like you've seen him today? Like you've been moved by him. God said, if I can get you to do something, I'll do something. But if you sit, I'll sit. But he said, if you'll get up like you say, you believe I got up. The Lord said this, that he suffered 5 different wounds for you. He was wounded for our transgressions, every one of them, for every person. I was going to tell you about all 5 wounds, but I'm going to tell you about the 5th one. The 5th wound was the scourging. He was lacerated. And we're going to pray. But they would take that cat of nine tails, one handle, but not one whip, but you know, 9 extended whips. All along those extended whips were pieces of bone and metal and wood. They were jagged and cutting. And every time they would take that cat of nine tails and whip him, they would pull it. They would jerk it. And they would literally rip the flesh from his body. 39 times, that was the Jewish law. The Romans had no such law. And there were times they would so enjoy what they were doing that they would miss and they would just haphazardly sling that whip. And sometimes they would catch the victim's face. And more often than not, those that were being whipped, their teeth would literally be pulled from their mouth. So that when Jesus died, his insides were revealed and bowels and kidneys were exposed. It was a cruel and unbelievable torture and death. And we have so trivialized it to just another Easter egg hunt. Just another time of fun. And stand with me this morning. How many of you would say today, Pastor, there have been Sometimes in my life when my sins were severe, I didn't quite comprehend this before, but I realize now why his beating was beyond the normal beating. It wasn't just another crucifixion, though there were many, sometimes as many as 3,000 crosses between Jerusalem and Rome. But when he was beaten and he was scourged and he was pierced for every one of our severe sins. It took a lot. For the price to be paid. And today, no matter how severe your sin may be, God is a loving God, Glenda Dodd. How he loves us and how he cares. No matter what you've done, he is here, and this is holy ground. And there is nothing the enemy can do to get between you and what Jesus Christ did for you. And this altar is open, and if you need him, he's here. That's all I can tell you. If you need him, he is here. You may not need forgiveness for anything else except taking what he did for granted. And if you have, this is a good place to give it to him today and say, God, remind me one more time the incredible price that you paid. I snuck in today, Pastor, so that I wouldn't have to hear this stuff 2 weeks from now. Surprise. Father, I pray today for your blessing upon every life, every individual in this house. That somewhere there, wherever there is a need for forgiveness, that that prayer would be prayed and that Jesus would be honored. And that a life could not only be restored, but that a life could be refreshed today. I'm speaking to someone, you walked into this house with the heaviest of burdens, but God said, I'll restore your joy today if you'll let me. The fourth wound in Jesus was an incised wound. It was the piercing of the sword. And John said, talking about himself, he that saw it bear record. There was a specific emphasis on this. You know why? It's because when blood and water came out right around the heart, we know that there is about 1 teaspoon of a watery substance, water, around the heart. It helps the heart move. Maybe you've just been to another service, another Sunday morning, still you've not been moved. Sometimes no matter who I am or who anyone else is that steps in this pulpit, we don't have the ability to move your heart, but he has the ability to move your heart. And what we know is this, is that the pericardium, that when a person is under incredible duress and stress and pain and agony, that 1 teaspoon can increase to as many as 24 teaspoonfuls. And that when Jesus was on the cross, I believe that's why John bare record. He said the stress that he was, the price that he paid, the suffering and the agony that he went through will never be measured by those that have not endured. Yet he endured it and he paid that price that every transgression might be forgiven. Not only does he save, but he heals. If you need healing this morning, will you lift your hand right where you are? Pastor, I need physical healing in my body, mental. God, in Jesus' name, through what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, I ask you to heal and to make whole, to make new. I love you, and I praise you for it. In Christ's name.